On this episode of After Hours, we talk with Brett Coleman from YouTube. He has the best scouting breakdowns getting you ready for the NFL draft. And Abdallah, this draft could test the Bears' ability to suck for the history of this franchise.
Yeah, Brett tells us that essentially if they get it right this time, this could be it for Bears fans. This could be the best class that the Bears could possibly get.
He also talks about a dream scenario of Caleb Williams being paired with Rome Odunze. You got to check it out. He talks wide receivers as well. That's all on this episode of After Hours with Black and Abdallah. Make sure you like and subscribe to the page. After Hours with Brett Coleman starts now. There are still some people in the city of Chicago that don't think the Bears should take Caleb Williams with the number one pick. Brett, tell our listeners, our viewers, why the Bears should take Caleb Williams.
So I'm going to treat this with nuance because I know Chicago has been tearing itself to pieces for the last few months in this weird like feud between people who support Justin versus people who support Caleb. I think there's a way for everybody to win here. And ultimately, I think the common ground is people want the Bears to be good, right? Just because Justin didn't work out in Chicago doesn't mean that Justin won't work out elsewhere in the NFL. If he goes to Pittsburgh and has a great career, more power to him. That's awesome. I was a huge Justin supporter. I still think there's a lot of talent there. But if we're just all looking at this as Bears fans, what's the best way for the Bears to be successful? It's you draft the guy who, through the grace of God and a very good trade made a year ago, you ended up being in position to draft, who I think everybody would agree was a better prospect than Justin Fields was when he was coming out of Ohio State. So you're taking a guy who's one of the best quarterback prospects, keyword prospect, of the last 15 years. You're resetting the salary clock. You have the ability to spend a bunch of money to surround him with talent for the next 5 years. You don't have 5 years of cheap quarterback play if Justin Fields is here anyway. Even if he's not making top of market, you're still going to end up having to pay him more than $30 million, right? So you're resetting the quarterback clock. You're getting a guy who was a more highly regarded prospect anyway. I don't understand what the downside is here. And if all we want is for the Bears to be a good franchise again, why are we spending all of our energy fighting about this? Like, you can wish Justin well. You can think he's going to be a good quarterback for the Steelers. But at the end of the day, we want to beat the Packers. We want to win the division. Like, yeah. Isn't that the goal here? Why are we spending so much time arguing about something that's already happened? Like, he's going to be in Chicago, okay? So at this point, I think people would be better served for their own mental health to just look at what the situation is, talk about how good of a player Caleb is, talk about the salary advantage you're going to have, and the best way for Ryan Poles to build around Caleb with 9 and the day 2 picks and everything like that to make this a successful situation for a young quarterback that unfortunately Justin didn't have 3 years ago.
So we all know they're going to take Caleb Williams. We know what he can do, we've all seen the highlights, and it seems like they only pull highlights of him, you know, escaping the pocket, running around for 30 seconds, then making an insane throw. He made it a point at his pro day and, you know, during his combine meetings to say, I can throw from the pocket. I can do all of this stuff. Where does he, because we know what he can do well, where does he struggle?
I think he struggled with playing hero ball last year. And again, I want to emphasize this. I have talked to his coaches. I have talked to the team he's working with in terms of, development as a quarterback. It's the same team that turned Brock Purdy into Brock Purdy. It's the same team that worked with Anthony Richardson, a whole bunch of other pros around the NFL. You know, he's down in Florida working with Will Hewlett and that team. I've talked to his teammates, his coaches. I've talked to people around the USC program. I have gotten as many perspectives on Caleb Williams from people who work with Caleb Williams every single day as I possibly could. Helps that I live 10 minutes away from campus, right? I have not seen anybody out of probably the 15 people I've talked to that have said a bad word about this kid in terms of work ethic, in terms of leadership, in terms of football IQ. Like, he is down there in Florida reworking everything that he has to rework in order to get comfortable with what he's going to be asked to do in this Waldron offense, you know, working under center, all that kind of stuff, you know, getting acquainted to the timings that they, that Shane's going to want him to be acquainted with in a more like West Coast-ish type system. So like he's working really hard to transform himself into the style of quarterback that Chicago is going to need him to be. And then when you just look at him as a talent, the arm strength, the mobility, the ability to throw from different arm angles, the fact that he has every throw in his bag. I mean, he has the highest differential between high velocity and low velocity on his throws that Will Hewlett's ever measured. It's like a 10 mile per hour difference, whereas most quarterbacks are like 2.5 to 3 miles per hour. So he has every club in the bag. And I think when you look at somebody who is this naturally talented, who every single teammate that he's played with would die for this kid. Every coach loves him. Everybody within the USC program loves him. Like, he is a franchise quarterback. He is a franchise CEO who also happens to be ridiculously physically talented. So as for what he needs to get better at, it's not playing hero ball and just kind of accepting that you don't have to hit a grand slam every single drive, because that's what got him in trouble last year. But that's about it. And if that's the one thing he has to fix, is not trying to press too much to score sevens every single drive, yeah, we can work with that.
Yeah, and Bright, you know, I follow USC football. It's the college football team that I'm a fan of. So I've watched all of his games, and, you know, a part of the struggle and why he played hero ball was because their defense was atrocious. So, like, if we fast forward this to the current roster with the Chicago Bears, to me, some of those concerns, which are on the game tape, kind of dissipate, because the Bears' defense should be around a top 10 defense next season. Therefore, some of that need to be a hero each and every time that the offense gets the ball, I think what will happen is that will kind of go away, and then those critiques will kind of dissipate as, like, his rookie season goes along, as long as he's not making stupid decisions with the football, which certainly could be the case. We've seen rookie quarterbacks come in and be loose within the pocket and also throw into double, triple coverage. But I think the idea of him being a hero ball style quarterback had a lot of it to do with how bad that USC defense was last year.
Every time he walked out on the field last year, the other team either had another seven or another three on the board. So he felt like he had to score every single drive. And to be honest, he was right. You know, if you get an average of like 10 drives a game and the other team is scoring an average of 7 to 8 of them, that means you have to score on 7 to 8 of your drives too. That is unbelievably hard to do. Like, that is really, especially if your offensive line is having a whole bunch of protection issues, which I actually talked to a couple people on that offensive line that were in that room. There's a whole lot behind that that I don't know if that's ever going to come to light. But suffice to say, the coaching that he will be getting, not just in the quarterback room, but head coaching, play caller, and then the other position coaches that are going to be tasked with you know, working with the receivers, working with the offensive line, it'll be better in Chicago. So he's going to have a better supporting cast, and he's not going to have to walk out there and know in his head, I have to score seven or we lose. It's going to be nice for him to be able to eat the ball and punt a few times without that being an automatic loss. That's going to be a whole new world for him. He's literally never had that before as a college player. So I'm sure he's looking forward to that at least.
We talk to you every year around this time about the draft, and specifically a lot of the times about the quarterbacks in this draft. It seems like the consensus is obviously Caleb Williams number one, some form of Drake May or Jaden Daniels, or flip-flop them either way, and then J.J. McCarthy. How do you rank the quarterbacks in this draft, at least in the first round?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Caleb won, and then after that, I would probably go Drake May slightly ahead of Jaden Daniels. I understand it's kind of a preference thing there. I think they're both going to be top five picks. I think they both should be top five picks. Jaden Daniels to me is somebody who, you know, if our back is against the wall and we got to start a kid week one, like it's going to be Jaden Daniels. If we have time to slowly kind of work a guy in. I don't want to say the Jordan Love timeline because nobody gets 3 years anymore, but you know, at least half a season. Like, let's get to Thanksgiving before we throw the kid in. That would be Drake May to me. I think his ceiling is the closest out of the other guys to what I think the ceiling for Caleb is. I think he has the potential to be a top 10 to 12 quarterback in the NFL. Again, there are some things he has to clean up, but I think he, you know, sitting for a little bit would benefit him. And then after that, my next tier, I have JJ McCarthy and Bo Nix right next to each other. JJ slightly ahead of Bo if I had to choose them in a vacuum. But if it's I'm spending a bunch of picks, let's say in Minnesota, I'm spending a bunch of picks to go up to get JJ McCarthy versus just sitting there and taking Nix, I'd probably prefer Nix plus the extra picks for me. And then after that, I have Michael Penix, and then it's everybody else.
How many quarterbacks do you have in the first round? Do you have all those quarterbacks going in the first round?
I have Caleb, May, Jaden, JJ, and Nix. And then I think Penix goes on day two.
Yeah, and I feel like since the college football season ended, JJ McCarthy and Penix have kind of flip-flopped as far as what people are expecting from them as we head into the draft. It felt like at the end of the college football season, there was a lot of steam and a lot of kind of hype around Michael Penix Jr. and perhaps him being a top 10 pick and kind of where he would land in the NFL. And then we get to the draft process where then JJ McCarthy, to me, has really shot up draft boards. What have you seen from the film work on JJ McCarthy that leads you to ranking him where you do?
Well, for one, he's a tremendous athlete. He's got NFL size. You know, the 220 pounds he came into the combine is absolutely real weight. Like, that dude is, he's yoked. You know, Ben Herbert basically added 25 pounds to him since he got to Michigan, which doesn't surprise me if you've heard stories about Ben Herbert's program at Michigan. There's a reason he was making $1 million as a college strength coach. Yeah. All right, he's very good at what he does. So JJ's got NFL size. His arm strength got a lot better throughout college. Like, he puts legit gas on the ball. I think he's got a better arm than Jaden Daniels. He can hit every single blade of grass. And if you have a guy who is that young, that coachable, that physically talented, you know, can throw in the run, has experience playing under center, turning his back to the defense, flipping his eyes around, finding the safety, ripping the throw, you know, that's more rare in college than you think now, let alone being under center, but also being under center with hard play action fakes. Like, it doesn't happen that much. So, you know, if Kyle Shanahan was going to dream up like his ideal quarterback to draft, it'd probably be JJ McCarthy because he has experience doing all the stuff that tree of offenses likes to do. But the reason why I have him not next to the top three guys is because we just didn't get to see a huge volume of big time throws. They happened, like they did happen on tape, but you have to watch three extra games of JJ to get the same volume of like big time NFL tight window downfield throws that you do for the other top guys. So it's not can he do it? We know he can do it. It's more can he do it as many times as you need to do it in the NFL? We don't know yet. So we'll find out. There's something there to work with. But again, if I'm Minnesota, would I trade up with like three first round picks to figure that out? I'm not sure I would do that.
I thought there would be a lot more love for Bo Nix. Like, I thought he would be like, you know, you see all these mock drafts coming out basically on a daily basis for the next 3 weeks, and not a lot of them have Bo Nix in the first round. I'm watching him in college all year this year, especially where he just continues to put up numbers and put up bigger numbers and bigger numbers, especially with all the experience he has. I know he's on the older side, obviously, but Joe Burrow seems to be doing just fine for the Bengals. So are you surprised that there's not more, I guess, noise around Bo Nix being a first round or someone that someone could trade up to try to get before someone else, you know, before like Penix or something like that?
You know, he's, I think a lot of people remember what he was at Auburn And Auburn Bo Nix and Oregon Bo Nix are two very different prospects, right? Which is similar to, you know, Jalen Hurts at Alabama versus Jalen Hurts at Oregon. Two very different players. So I think when quarterbacks start as true freshmen or redshirt freshmen, that people, especially at high-profile SEC programs, people tend to just have that image stick with them far longer than they should. Bo Nix now is a totally different player. Obviously, he has size, he has arm strength, he has mobility, everything like that. But he's so much better under pressure now than he was earlier in his career. He's more accurate. He takes better care of the ball. Like, and I think all that's come with his experience. He's literally the most experienced college quarterback ever in the history of college football. He has more starts than anybody. So he's seen everything. He's worked through a lot of his warts over time. And how I equate it is Bo Nix just had his first 2 years of NFL development in college. And so he's coming out more ready than a lot of other kids come out in college. Obviously because he took two extra years in college than most guys do. But if I'm an NFL team, again, I'm looking at him, somebody who I can start week one, and I just think, okay, his super senior and his super, super senior year in college are basically just the rookie and the sophomore year in the NFL. He's got a bunch of starts. He's got a bunch of snaps. A lot of the development's already done. We can play him right now and feel good about it. I don't even look at the Auburn tape because they're just not the same guy.
When we look at the ninth pick in the first round, which player do you think the Bears should hope falls to them at nine?
Oh, my God, guys. If Rama Dunze is there. Oh, my God. Could you imagine? I'll tell you what. Bears Twitter has been a very toxic place the last few months. But we get to September. If Caleb's got DJ Moore and Keenan Allen and Rama Dunze, and he puts up 450 yards against Green Bay on Sunday Night Football, we're good. We're good.
Yeah, that's all
toxicity
that matters,
gone, right? Man. Toxicity gone. No, I love Rome. I think he's a phenomenal player. I think he's one of the easiest evals in this class. Oh God, I hope he's there. I don't think he will be. But if he is, I think that'll be the kumbaya moment amongst Bears fans of like, okay, we're good.
Is there a reason that he's not as highly? I feel like the wide receivers are kind of like the quarterbacks, where like everyone's Marvin Harrison Jr. is the best, whereas like Caleb Williams is, and then it's Malik Nabers and it's Rama Dunze, kind of like it's Jaden Daniels and Drake May. Do you think that Rama Dunze is better than Malik Nabers, or is it better prospect than Malik Nabers?
I have Rome in the same tier as Marvin, and I have Malik by himself in a tier below those two. I think the gap between May and Caleb is wider than the gap between Marvin and Rome. And in any other year, Rome would be like easy slam dunk by far wide receiver one. He just happens to be in the same class as Marvin Harrison Jr. But I think Rome is in the same tier of prospect as like Jamar Chase, right? So if you're getting Caleb Williams and a Jamar Chase level receiver next to each other in the same top 10, like it's going to be really hard. Like, this is going to put Chicago's historic ability to be bad to the test. Like, if they're bad after this draft, then we just got to sell the team, right? Because then there's some like demons that we got to exercise. Like, it would be, I would be beyond stunned if both Caleb and Rome end up not working out in the NFL, let alone working out together.
Okay, so if Rama Dunze is not there at nine, is there a wide receiver Bears fans should keep our eyes on in case the Bears, say, move back from the ninth pick, they go with a defensive end with the ninth pick, so then they have to use, say, a third-round pick on a wide receiver? Is there someone else, in case Rama Dunze doesn't work out, that we should kind of keep our eyes on that you love when you watch the tape?
If we're looking at it in third round, that's where I'm thinking possibly Jermaine Burton from Alabama, who is, he's got incredible ball skills, sideline artistry. He would be like the Marvin Jones for this team, right? of he's going to catch four or five balls in a game, but all of them are going to be very, very impactful. And they're all going to be like crazy, you know, SportsCenter top 10 catches. If they wait till the fourth round, that's where I'm looking at Caleb's USC teammate, Taj Washington, who, and Caleb and Taj have a very tight relationship. Would not be surprised if the first thing he does when he gets to Chicago is he tells Ryan, like, go get my guy. But again, that's probably like a fourth round pick. Day three, this is one I want you guys to, again, we're talking about deep cuts here.
Sure.
Holy Cross receiver Jalen Coker. Okay. He's like 6'2", 215, 42 and a half inch vert. You throw on Ivy League tape, this kid annihilates everybody. Like, it's almost not fair. You don't even have to know what his number is. You get two snaps in, you're like, oh, it's probably the really big dude running by everybody. He's going to get drafted somewhere because he's such a freaky mover. And I would not be surprised if the Bears take a flyer on him later in day three. But like, this receiver class is so talented. There's going to be like 35 guys drafted. Even if they go, say, Dallas Turner or Jared Verse at nine, you can still get a really, really good player on day two. Even in round three, you're going to get a starter. So I have no worries about it. They're going to come out with their wide receiver three at some point, and they're probably going to be pretty good.
That was going to be my next question. You mentioned Dallas Turner and Jared Verse. If the wide receivers are gone, they're still going to pick at nine. They're not going to trade back. Both those guys are there. I think they're both very good players. Which one would you prefer?
In terms of ceiling, Dallas Turner. In terms of floor, I would say Jared Verse. The thing I really like about Jared Verse is his ability to convert speed to power is just special. And we saw the effect that had with Montez Sweat, you know, when he got there last year. And the ability to compress a pocket is so important because it's not just about getting sacks. It's also about getting pressures down in and down out and compressing the pocket, make quarterbacks uncomfortable on 10 plays, not just five. And the easiest way to make a quarterback as uncomfortable is to tighten the pocket. You can only really do that if you have the ability to convert speed to power. So it's not just about Montez Sweat getting pressures. It's about him consistently putting the right tackle 3 feet away from the quarterback so they're throwing up gimme picks, right? Jared Verse can do that. So if you have two edges, not to mention, you know, Dex in the middle and all them, that can just make the pocket as tight as humanly possible, it's going to be hell to play against a pass rush like that. And all Caleb would then have to do is just get like a 7-point lead, unleash the hounds.
Oh yeah.
It's going to be a whole new world for him. He's like, oh my God, we actually got to stop on third down. It's amazing. But if they don't go receiver, it's gotta be either Dallas Turner or Jared Verse. But I think Verse would be a guy that Ryan Poles likes a lot just because he tends to prioritize like power rushers. And if there's one person in this class who's a really good power rusher, it's probably Jared Verse.
Brett, we're 3 weeks away from the NFL draft. What's the latest project you're working on right now?
I'm sure there's a lot of Illini fans that tune into this. I'm working on a Johnny Newton video. He's probably not going to end up in Chicago just because of where the Bears are picking. But boy, he would be such a fun addition. Like, I'm telling you, this kid's amazing. He plays with the same kind of energy that Akeem Hicks played with, you know, back in like that 2018 Bears defense of just mauling people. Like, he absolutely mauls people. And I know Illini fan that listen to this, they know that because they watched Johnny for years. But he's one of the most fun players to watch in this class because it's just pure, unadulterated violence every single play. I know he's not going to end up in Chicago, but selfishly, I think it'd be really, really fun because he seems like a bear to me.
Well, I can't wait to watch. You have the best scouting breakdowns on the internet. So thank you for coming on with us, and we really appreciate you. Thanks, Brett.
Thanks for having me.